Okay, well, it's exciting, isn't it, to get a new thing. Maybe when you've ordered something through the post, you're waiting for it to be delivered. You're waiting for that parcel. You say, has it come yet? It's exciting. You want to get the thing, you want to open it, and you want to play with it. And probably, if you're like me, the last thing you want to do is to start reading the instructions. And yet with some things, we know we need to read the instructions, don't we? Because if we're going to get the best out of it, if we're not going to break it, we need to make sure we read the instructions. Now, the Israelites, they have been waiting for this promised land. They've been waiting to come to it. God had promised it to them for a long time, and now they are on the brink of receiving this promised land. It's so exciting. It's like the parcel has finally been arrived. They're waiting to unwrap it. But it's really important that they know what to do with it when they get it. So God's going to give them some instructions on how to live when they get into the land. God had given Moses all these instructions, and there were loads of them for them to hear. And it was going to tell them how they could live for God, how they would honor God, how they would love God, how they would love their neighbor too. So Moses had been given all the laws for the Israelites so that they knew how to live when they were in the promised land. We're not going to deal with all that Moses said, because he said an awful lot, and we'll be here for a very long time. But as is our harvest celebration, we're going to deal with this little bit that Richard read out for us, and it deals with how we are to give thanks to God and to be a generous people, because God has given them all that they had. Now, we don't have to do exactly what they did, because these were laws given to those people for that specific time and that specific place. And yet we can learn a lot from the principles we find here. So they were about to move into the new land. About a year ago, we recently moved into the house just across there. And when we did, there were boxes everywhere. My study was so full up with boxes, I actually couldn't get in the room. It was just so full up. It took a long time to sort out all the boxes. And Claire won't thank me for telling you this, but there's still a few boxes we haven't sorted out yet. It takes a long time to sort these things out. And, you know, they were about to move into the promised land, and God wasn't just going to say, right, as soon as you step foot in there, you've got to do all these things. Actually, he gives them time to settle in, and he gives them time to plant stuff. So they're settling in, they've made their home there, they've planted stuff there. And it's really exciting, isn't it, if you've ever planted something, to see your plants slowly come up. I planted something. I'm just going to get it. Hold on. Okay, so my basket, I'm going to put my basket here. Something's breaking. Right, so a few years ago, my wife bought me some bonsai seeds so I could grow my own bonsai tree. This was very exciting because I love bonsai trees. I think they look really exciting. So I did it. There's lots of things to do. You have to plant it, wait for the seeds to come up. You have to put it in the fridge, and then you have to cover it. It's all this complicated stuff, which I did. And eventually, my bonsai tree started to grow. I brought it with me. I hope you're excited to see it. I'm going to hide it, as you can't see. Right. So it grew and it grew and it was doing all right. And then eventually it died. I don't know if you can see that. I'll show it to the zoomers. There we go. So it died. It shriveled up and died, which was really disappointing because it was so exciting when it first started to grow. I haven't thrown it out because I'm attached to it, but there we go. But it is exciting when your seeds start to grow and you see it. And the Israelite seeds, they didn't shrivel up like my bonsai tree. They got this lovely harvest, and they had been waiting for it, eagerly waiting for it. And then eventually those shoots came up, and eventually they knew it was time to harvest, because there was something called the first fruits. The first fruits kind of explain themselves as the first fruits. And often these things, they would come in waves. You'd get the first fruits and then the rest would come later. So when you saw the first fruits, you knew that was a promise that there was a bigger harvest to come later. And that was just the first fruits to come. And God told them to take some of those first fruits and put them in a basket. So I've got a basket like that there. And they had to then bring the basket to the Lord and offer it to him, not the basket, the first fruits. Now, I've got some first fruits in there, Norland. We'll come to that later. We've got some first fruits in here now. We planted some plants, some seeds in our garden in the manse. I say we, it was actually Claire, but I'm happy to take the, credit for that. And some of it grew up. And so we've been getting some fruit, and it's been not just fruits, all sorts of things. And we're going to play a little game. Okay, so we are going to divide you into two teams. This is the, you're going to be my left team because you're my left. I know you're kind of on the right, but you're my left. And you're the right team. So you've got to guess what produce our garden has given us. And I need two volunteers, young ones, probably young ones. I've got a hand right there at the back there. Okay, do you want to come forward here? Now, I'm probably going to get your name wrong. Is it Noah? Is Jared? I'm very sorry, Jared. Right, brilliant, lovely, okay. Glad we sorted this out. Can you be the man? You've got to check in here when they guess. You've got to see if you can find it, okay? Do you think you can do it? Right, okay. Let's just pop that on the floor. I need someone who can count now. Someone who can keep score for me. Is a hand right back? Yes, you can come. Yes. Now, I do know your name. No, I don't know your name. I'm not going to lie. I have been told your name. That's what I meant to say. So, what's your name?
Ezra,
fantastic. So we've got Ezra and we've got Jared. Right. Ezra, your job is to keep count of how they do score, okay? So it's the first one to four. Now, would someone from this team like to guess what produce, one thing that we've grown from our garden? Anyone guess? I need a hand, someone. Are you growing up some guesses? Yes. Carrots, that's a great guess. Do you want to have a look, Jared? Can you find a carrot in there? There's no carrot in there. Oh, right, it goes over to this side. We've got one at the back, Catherine.
Candy cane beetroots.
I think you've been cheating. Yeah, let's have a look. Can you see some beetroots? Okay, yes, that's it. Do you want to show it to us? There we go. That's not actually a picture of ours, but it's okay. Your job, how many have they got there? Really, you're good at this. Right, now, your turn. Let's have a look. Any other guesses? What might we have had? Okay, yes, right at the back, yeah? Courgettes, let's have a look. Have we got a courgette in there? I'll give you a glass. No, I don't think there is. Oh, dear, this side. Ah, right, it goes over to this side then. Let's have a look at a hand. Now, are you Noah right at the back? You must be Noah.
Cucumber.
Is there a cucumber? There is a cucumber. Fantastic. Well done. That's how many points this on? Two. Oh, it's a clear winner. Okay, this side again. Here we go. One right at the back. Yep. Lettuce. Can you see a lettuce in there? There is no lettuce in there. Oh, no. This is quite funny. Right, this side. Your turn. Oh, water. Tomato. Oh, can you see a tomato? Yes! Okay. So I won't ask you, I'm sure you know how many there is, but it's a bit embarrassing for this side. Right, who's going to dare to make a guess on this side? We need a clever guess. Right, Jill at the back, yeah. We have had beetroot, so I'll take another guess. Runner beans. Are there any runner beans? No, that's not quite a runner bean. It's a little bit close, so I'll let you know that. There's no runner beans in there. I'm so sorry. This is kind of funny. Okay, this is it. This could be the winning guess. No pressure. Let's have a hand. Hand. Anyone have? Oh, right at the back, Kizzy. Rhubarb. There's a guess for you. Rhubarb, anything? I can't see it. In there. No rhubarb. Okay, it goes to this side. Okay, now I've forgotten. Did I ever get your name? Can you give me your name?
Israel.
Israel, brilliant, yes. Peppers? No! Oh, dear. Okay, right, this side? I need a hand. Yeah, Chris.
Onions.
Onions, oh. Fantastic. Oh. Okay, well done. Let's just set the score. So how many for this side?
Zero.
How many for this side?
There's a clear winner. Thank you very much. You did very well. Thank you. Lovely.
Okay, just in case you actually care,
Claire also did potatoes and strawberries and greengages, although they grow in the tree out there, and there's crab apples and there's peas and all sorts. So yes, lots of nice things that we might have in our basket of first fruits. So they would collect their first fruits and they would put them in their basket and they would take them to the place where the Lord showed them. So they hadn't come into the promised land yet. So they didn't know where the temple, where the tabernacle was going to be. So God was going to show them that. And said, take them to that place. That was where they could meet with God. And then lay it, give it to the priest, and he will lay it down before the Lord. I'm going to put it maybe over there. Lay it down before the Lord. And when they did that, the Israelite that had done that, they had to repeat a certain speech. So God gave them all these things that he wanted them to say. And basically, it was a summary of the nation's history. So it would look back on how God had saved them out of Egypt, how he'd done amazing things to rescue them, how their forefather had been a traveler, he'd gone into Egypt. And so it's repeating their history. And then it reminded them how God had brought them to this promised land, how God had kept his promises, brought them to this promised land. And just like he did. And then the final bit they had to say was, and behold, now I bring the first of the fruits of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. So as he looked at his basket full of the first fruits and full of good food, he'd remember, it's only there because God has been so good and faithful to me and brought me to this place. And I guess when we look at our baskets, most of them are things like Tesco baskets or Aldi or Sainsbury baskets, aren't they? Not many of us actually go out and plant our own food. I know some of you do, and that's lovely. By the way, thank you for the people that decorated the place with all these nice things. It's lovely. But we don't generally plant our own food, do we? We go and buy it. And that's why it's really important that we take time to thank God for the food that we eat. Some of us say grace, we thank God before we eat, but it's good to bring our gifts here, isn't it? And remember, as we look at them, and we will have an opportunity to bring our gifts up in a bit, but as we look at it, we can say, actually, I know that I didn't plant that myself, but ultimately it comes from the land, and it's God's good gifts to us. So, after they'd recounted God's faithfulness to Israel, to bringing them into the promised land, God says, then you are to worship. Now, I'm not quite sure what the worship involved. It might have been a bow, it might have been a prayer, it might have been a song, but whatever, it might even have been sitting down to eat of the food that they had brought along. But whatever it was, it is good, isn't it, that we say thank you to God and we worship him for his provision, his goodness, and his faithfulness. And we're going to do that. We're going to do that in song. We're going to sing our next song, Great is Your Faithfulness. So when the music starts, we'll stand to sing our next song.
Great is thy faithfulness, Lord.
stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness.
Having a birthday. Hands up if you like having a birthday. Some of you? Okay, thank you. It's funny, not a lot of the older people's hands went up there. I don't know why. But birthdays are great, aren't they? I love birthdays. I suppose we really like birthdays because we get presents. If we're honest, we get presents. And it's good, isn't it? Who doesn't like giving and receiving presents? It's a lovely thing to do. But as Christians, I suppose some of us might not really know if we really meant to enjoy these things. You know, how much should we enjoy ourselves? Is it right? We can almost feel a bit guilty, can't we, about enjoying the good things that God gives us. We can feel guilty if we get a new car or we move house or we have a lovely garden or if you buy a new phone or if you get some new clothes or you have a new haircut. You think, oh, well, it's really nice and I'm really enjoying it, but am I meant to really enjoy it that much? And so we can think, oh, I don't know. Should I just be miserable about all my new stuff? Well, if you're like me, I quite like being given nice things. And when people give me a nice gift, I say, well, thank you. That's really lovely. So should we feel guilty? Is it a sin to enjoy good things? Well, let's see what God says about it. So this man, he's brought his basket full of good things. And he's just remembered that God's given him them. So does God tell him to pretend you're not really very pleased with that? And you don't really like that? Not at all. In verse 11, he says, and you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given you. I think the NIV just phrases it a little bit better there. He says, you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you. Rejoice in all the good things. Dear me, that doesn't sound very Christian, does it? To rejoice in all the good things? Oh, but there it is. We need to keep the two parts together. We are to rejoice in the good things. But he carries on, that the Lord your God has given you. So as we enjoy our good things, we do so with full recognition that they come from God. We don't rejoice in our things and ignore God. Part of rejoicing in the good things he gives us is to recognize they are from him.
And so we turn our joy that we find in those things he gives us into praise and thanks to him. They are part, celebrating God's goodness to us as part of our enjoying things. That's the right attitude. We shouldn't deny that things are good if they are. God does give us good things, but we should give thanks and enjoy them in a right way. Now, last Christmas, I was given a present. And I love trying to work out what presents are before I open them. So I usually give them a tap. And sometimes I'll smell them. Doesn't smell of much. Sometimes I rattle them. Okay, it's not rattling. I wonder what this could be. You're looking very careful. A Bible. That's a good guess. Oh, I wonder if you're right. Anyone else want to have a guess? What could this present be? No one's got any ideas. Yeah, well, I was a bit stumped, to be honest. As I was unwrapping it, I was joking around. My sister-in-law gave this to me. It was, you know, the family was around. And I was unwrapping it, and I was joking around. Oh, I was saying, oh, I bet it's just an empty box, isn't it? And she said, yes, it is, actually, which I thought was a bit disappointing, I have to admit. She said, it's an empty box, which you can put all your bits and bobs in. Oh, right. Thanks. I don't mean to be ungrateful, but an empty box wasn't one of the best presents that I got last year. I have to be honest with you. It was a bit disappointing, and I haven't really used it except for today. So now it's got a purpose, which is great. But God's good gifts are not like an empty box where you go, oh, well, that's a bit disappointing. God's gifts are good, aren't they? And so we should receive them gladly. We should enjoy them. It shows that we value him. It shows that we value what he's given us. I wonder if anyone can think of some good gifts that God gives us. Any ideas, grown-ups as well. Any good gifts? Maybe just, shout it out if you're feeling brave. Any good gifts? Our life, sunshine, yeah, brilliant. Rain, yeah, that's good, depending on whether you want it at that point. But yeah, definitely need rain, don't we? Food, yeah. Excellent. Children? Was that children? Yeah, they're all good gifts. You're right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, any others? Family, absolutely. Yeah. Pets, yes. Unless it's a dog. No, I didn't say that. No, I did not. I know you love dogs here, so we love dogs. Any other suggestions? Good gifts. So, homes, yes. Yeah. Money? Yes, that can be good. Yeah. Forgiveness, that's a good thing, yeah. Okay, so God does give us love. We could go on all day because everything we have, absolutely everything we have, is from God, isn't it? He's given us food, friends, family, work, intimacy in marriage. He's given us the abilities to do things like write and play music and play games and draw. And there's just so many wonderful things to enjoy, good gifts to be enjoyed with thanksgiving to God. But there is a little bit more here. He says in verse 11, then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Sometimes we can like our good gifts just a little bit too much, can't we? And we forget, actually, we are meant to share. But God says to his people here, share the good things that you've got, enjoy them, but share them. Let other people come into your celebration. Let other people benefit from the blessing that you've got. Now, you've got to imagine that this is the idea. The guy who's come to Jerusalem, eventually it would have been, the temple. He's put his first fruits there, and now he's got to share. So perhaps it was in the setting of the temple. Whoever was there, the travelers, the people, the Levites, maybe it was there, or maybe it was as he goes home, he celebrates and enjoys and lets people come into the blessing. It doesn't really matter which one he's talking about there, but the fact is we've got a generous God. He's given us lots of good things. It's okay to enjoy them, celebrate them, give thanks to God, but we're told to be a sharing people. We've got a generous God, and so we should be generous to other people too. I wonder how generous we are with our
good things that God gives us.
We're going to sing a song that reminds us of some of the good things that God gives us. And actually, it recalls the greatest gifts that God has given us, the Lord Jesus Christ. He, of course, is the greatest gift for whom we should be thankful for. So we're going to stand to sing, How Great Thou Art.
Shout of acclamation and lead me home.
So it was an exciting time for Israel. They were on the brink of entering the promised land, and each tribe was going to receive a portion of the land. And that was important because you needed the land to grow the food so that you could live. But there was one tribe that weren't going to get their own piece of land. That was the Levites. So who were the Levites? Really quickly, they were a tribe given over to serving the Lord. Their duties included looking after the ark and the tabernacle and all the bits that went with it, and eventually serving in the temple. Some would serve as priests and others as assistants. They would make sure the law was being kept and fulfilled. And but the thing with the Levites was they didn't have their own land. The Lord was to be their inheritance. Now, they were given cities, so they had about 48 cities that were in the other tribes' land. They were scattered throughout the entire promised land. And they had a little bit of pasture that went with the cities so they could give their animals something to eat. But they weren't to be farmers because their inheritance wasn't the land, it was the Lord. They were to serve the Lord. So they needed supporting. A bit like pastors and missionaries and other gospel workers, they needed help. So they received the tithes and the portions of the sacrifices from the people. That's how they survived. So they didn't have land. And there's another group that's mentioned in our passage who didn't have the land. The sojourners and the travellers. There's a funny word. I don't know how to pronounce it. Richard said it one way. I'm going to say it of all sorts of ways. But it's a funny word. We don't really say it. It basically means travellers, people who went to different places and stayed there for a bit and then moved on. They are foreigners. They don't really live there. They just come, they stay for a bit, and then they go. So there's these travellers, these foreigners. They wouldn't have had any land either. So they didn't have any food. So they were a needy people. So you've got the Levites. You've got the travellers. And there's two more groups mentioned in verse 12. You've got the fatherless and the widow. So what do the Levites, the foreigners, the fatherless and the widow all have in common? They were in need. Even if the widows could keep their land, or the fatherless could, they couldn't really work it on their own. So they were vulnerable. They were in need. So God, right at the beginning, was setting up laws into the heart of their constitution to look out for these needy people. This wasn't rewarding laziness. It was providing for genuinely needy people. So on the third year, this is what Moses told them, the third year, a tenth of their produce would be stored up and given to those who were in need. And God then gave them another little speech that they had to say. It's all about how they've obeyed it, they've diligently done it, and they haven't taken it from themselves. And I guess it's important because actually it would have been hard. Now, when I was a child, Christmas, obviously it's coming up, but Christmas, I remember I bought my mum a mug for Christmas. And I thought, what I'll do is I'll fill the mug full of chocolate bars and that'll be a really nice present for her. So I bought the chocolate bars, I bought the mug. But the chocolate bars were so tempting that I couldn't help myself and I kept eating them. And that meant I had to go and buy more chocolate bars to fill up the mug. But I didn't have much money. So eventually, I think my mum just got about two chocolate bars and a mug. And it was a very small present that she ended up with. And I guess that would be the temptation with the Israelites. As the Israelites stored up their tent throughout the year, they would see the piles of food growing up. And it might occur to them, well, that's a lot. You know, maybe we should just take some of that back and keep it for ourselves. And we could nibble some of that. And no one would know. But actually, in verse 13, it's called a sacred portion. It's a special portion, a portion set apart. It was a portion they were meant to take out of their house, give away to the poor and needy. So tithing to the vulnerable in the community, it was a serious business. And I just wonder, as believers here today, I wonder how seriously we take our responsibility to provide for the poor and for the needy in our community. It's easy, isn't it, to look at what the Lord has given us and think, well, actually, I just want to keep that for myself. And if we start to think, well, I'm giving away that much to the Lord, just think what I could do with that. Then we can see how easy it is for us to start not being generous with what the Lord has given us. But actually, God has got a real heart for the needy and the vulnerable. Proverbs 21 says this: Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. And so here, right back then in the Old Testament, God puts into the heart of their life this way to care, this pattern, so that they can care for these people in their midst who needed food. And you know, the heart of God hasn't changed. He still cares for the poor and the needy. And actually, that's really good news for us. We might not be materially poor and needy now, but actually we are the poor and needy. See, spiritually speaking, we are needy. We are vulnerable. We are those who are destitute. We are those who were helpless. We were the fatherless. We were the foreigner. We were the widow. Actually, worse than that, the Bible says that we were dead in our sin. How much does a dead man own? Nothing. He can't use it. It's nothing. It goes to other people. You can't get much poorer than a dead man. But our generous God, he's given us Jesus. He's given us all that we have in Jesus. And for those who trust in him, he takes away our sin. He gives us a fresh start. He gives us peace with God. And he gives us this promise of eternal life. In Jesus, we have a promised land to look forward to. And actually, in Jesus, this idea of the first fruits is fulfilled. So in 2 Corinthians 15, verse 10, it says this: but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So Jesus died at the time of Passover, showing us that he took the punishment we deserve, and that judgment then passes over us because Jesus has taken the punishment. And then he was resurrected at the feast of the first fruits, at the time of the first fruits. And Jesus, then the Corinthians says, actually, he is the first fruits of resurrection. What do we say about the first fruits? We said the first fruits are the first thing that brings the rest, the promise of the greater harvest to come. And it's the same with us. Jesus was the first to be resurrected to life. And that is the promise of a greater spiritual harvest to come later. We are that spiritual harvest. We will be resurrected to life because of Jesus. So if we're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, this includes us. We were those who were needy and poor, but because of Jesus, we are going to be the spiritual harvest. So those who were once poor and needy before God, should we not then respond with heartfelt praise? Should we not then respond in thanksgiving? Should we not be generous? And should we not be a sharing people? This is a time of thanksgiving, isn't it? We can look at this food, and we're going to have a time when we can bring it up in a second. We can look at this food and we can say, thank you, Lord. And we can thank him and praise him. But it's also a time when we can be generous to others and follow the heart of God and give to the poor and needy. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to hear about where our gifts are going this year. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this reminder of harvest time. Lord, we can become so taken up with plastic wrapping and shopping and Tesco's and all these big markets and things, and we forget that ultimately it all comes from you. Lord, as we've recognized this morning, there are so many good things you give us. We've called some of them out, Lord. We've mentioned them: friends and family and money and food and pets and dogs and cats and all these good things that mean so much to us. And we do thank you for them. Lord, these are good gifts, and we thank you that we can enjoy them without feeling guilty or anything like that. But Lord, we've also recognized there is a time for us to be generous and to share in the blessings that you've given to us. So Lord, help us to do that. But Lord, we thank you that even more than that, you have given us just abundantly so much. You've given us Jesus so that we have now got an eternal hope, a spiritual hope, something to look forward to. So Lord, we thank you for that. Help us to consider where we stand with you and Jesus. Help us to consider, have I received the gift of Jesus? It is the best gift you've given us. So Lord, we thank you for that gift in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask Adele to come up to the front.